You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hello folks, welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 24th of October 2021 and it's great to see everybody logging in on the chat room there. Hope you have a bit of fun tonight. Now, on the show tonight I have a pre-record with JCK. We did the pre-record on Friday because JC's actually, she lives in Australia and it would be silly o'clock and getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to do an interview is not really... You know, your faculties aren't all tuned in most cases for most people. So we said we'd do a pre-record. So I have a pre-record with JCK. JC is very popular. She's just come out on the scene there recently. Well, probably up about a year or so. And she has great information on her website there. So we had a great chat. Basically, what we did was we did the interview for 2 hours and then we carried on talking for another hour, and we could have carried on talking because we had so much information to talk about and share. So, so loads of information. So we got into different subjects anyway on the interview. But as usual, before we get into the interview, I have a few things to talk about and we're going to find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email. Contact us at circleofwhitelight.com. by phone 046-927-1212 or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website is circleofwhitelight.com and, you know, every week I say it, but for new people who are tuning in, pop off to circleofwhite.com and also on Patreon /COWL, or I'm on there, and PayPal on the website. If you want to support our Pay It Forward appeal, pop off to the website, click on the option Pay It Forward. You'll see what we do. We try and allocate any donations that come. We allocate a percentage of the donations over to a worthy cause, and we support a lot of local community groups, charities, homeless charities and individuals who are struggling as well. And coming into the winter now, obviously there's a lot of things going on. So I'm going to be talking to a couple of homeless charities, Tom Duffy from one of the homeless charities soon, and to see what's going on there really and if there's anything that we can do. So I'll keep you posted on that, but the whole thing is all about transparency. So you go over to the website, you can see that the donations we make and where your money goes when you make a donation to Circle of White Light or to the Pay It Forward appeal. So thanks to everybody who does that. It really does make a difference. Okay, now I don't have any real news articles because this is a long interview with JC and we just kept talking. We'd so much to talk about. So I'm going to keep my bit short now before the interview and I'm just going to go straight into my week. Now, you've probably seen videos around on YouTube and you see people using their mobile phone scanning people who've been vaccinated, trying to scan for Bluetooth, basically using the Bluetooth on the phone and trying to scan. And some of these people are coming up with codes and stuff like that. Well, I actually had a go at doing that. I went around to my neighbours who I know have been vaccinated and I tried it on the two of them. I activated my Bluetooth. I also brought around my tri-field meter, which does magnetic as well as RF, and I scanned them and nothing came up at all on Bluetooth or tri-field. So I don't know whether it's a case of as soon as they have the vaccine you have to do the scan, and after a few weeks if they've had it then it just disappears and you can't pick it up. So answers on the postcard for that one. If somebody knows whether it's a case that as soon as they get the vax you do the scan and then it happens, or is it because after a few weeks that you can't scan because what's ever been put in is obviously making its way around the body. So it'd be good to know what they're doing. I don't actually believe it at this moment in time. Until I see it myself and I'm doing it myself, or I see somebody doing it that I know, because I know there's a lot of scammers out there and I know there's a lot of fake stuff going on. So they could have Bluetooth devices you know, hidden in the jumper or underneath the arm, and the Bluetooth device has been picked up by the phone. I have a USB Bluetooth device here from my computer, and it's so small, it's just really small, you could put it underneath the person's arm, and that's what could be picked up by the mobile phone. So I'm a bit kind of skeptical until I see it myself being done. So answer them on the postcard for that one. Also, I don't know whether people have heard an advert that went out there by Liam Neeson. Basically, a bit of a sellout now, as far as I'm concerned, from a Hollywood point of view. He's apparently a UNICEF ambassador, and he's apparently pushing got a jab, then buy a jab for the third world. So if you've got the jab, then make a donation to fund a jab for the third world. I mean, have them third world countries not suffered enough without having to pump this stuff into them as well? And Liam Neeson is coming on the radio and promoting this stuff. So I don't know whether you've heard it, but I heard it on the radio during the week. So I was shocked at that. You know, unbelievable. You know, it's just psychopaths, you know, trying to do what they can and push this jab out to everybody. You know, they are losing. I do believe that they are losing the fight. But because they're psychopaths, they'll try and bring down as many as they can. And they'll try and push this as much as they can. And even Micheál Martin turned around to the Vintners Association and he said, oh, you now have to have tickets because, you know, there's some obviously places that are not looking for COVID passports, because what they're saying is, well, what they're thinking is, well, I want to make money. Oh, this is my business, so I have to feed my family. So I'm not going to be worrying about bloody passports. I mean, that's not, your COVID passport is not going to stop the virus. So if you think of it this way, right? So somebody who's been vaccinated, right, can still spread the virus, but they're allowed into the nightclub. And then someone who's not vaccinated and tests negative for the actual the virus is not allowed in. But the person who has the vaccines and they might test positive, they're allowed in because they have a passport. I mean, the logic doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. They're getting desperate and desperate as time goes on. And what I've seen happening is this elastic band is going to be pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled. And the more desperate they get and the more resistance we give them, give the government, because these people are parasites in government. I don't have time for them. The more we resist them, the more they'll put the pressure on, and that elastic band is just going to snap. And then what will happen is people who are normally in the matrix will kind of wake up and go, hang on a minute, this is just getting ridiculous. And I see that happening now. There's people coming out. I even read an article, mainstream media, you know, they don't really say anything, but I was sent an article today by a lady I was speaking to on Zoom, and the IrishExaminer.ie was actually had an article there of a guy, Donal O'Connell or something like that, and he was actually kind of saying, this is getting stupid. The government's getting stupid now. It's getting ridiculous. And that's the whole elastic band snapping. So more and more of this is going to come out. So we're going to see more and more of it. Okay, so we just have to be patient, but it will happen. And as I always say, science allows for debate, propaganda does not. And that's what we're getting. We're just getting propaganda at the moment. And the other thing is, there seems to be a lot of volcanoes going off worldwide. And I remember a prediction that when this happens, it means that we are near to something major happening. So if anybody remembers that or knows the article or knows the information, can you send me a link to it? Because I remember this going back a while ago. And we are having major volcanoes going off all around the world at the moment, all at the same time, which is very strange. So if you have access to that article, let me know. Or if you know about it, then give me a shout and let me know about it. Okay, now I'm going to get my guest on. Now, as I say, this is a pre-record because JC lives in Australia and it was early in the morning. So we did that at a time that was manageable for both of us. So before I play the pre-record, I'm just going to give you a background of JC. JC Kaye is a 45-year-old Australian artist and intuitive who burst onto the social media scene and into the public's awareness within a few short weeks, with a mission to speak her truth in a world that was being silenced. She is raw and unashamedly honest in her delivery of her videos, which many audience members have said has been a refreshing change from the norm. JC is a graduate of Fine Arts and Design with a theatre degree in theatre production and acting, and has had almost 27 years experience as a professional illustrator, artist and psychic medium. She is a passionate spiritual warrior, truth seeker and cosmic traveller. In a seemingly innocent series of events in late August 2020, JC created a Facebook group and YouTube channel, Quantum Truths JCK, with a simple intent to document her astral journeys that she was experiencing during her private meditation practice. This catapulted JC into the public eye when her first four videos went viral overnight. She had felt an intense soul urge to share her visions, spiritual truths and hidden worlds beneath Australia, Uluru and the Vatican. I think that's Red Rock. And that's the name for it. This has led her to amass a following of truth-seeking viewers who have resonated with her very raw conversations and videos that she creates in order to awaken the masses. JC sees her work not as a predictor of events and timelines, but as a mirror or a conduit for the collective to awaken within themselves their own connection to God and to truth, to take back their power and to find their messages from within. Her regular YouTube videos include her astral journeys or remote views, her messages from the trees, meditations, dowsing videos, a collaboration song with Mark Atwood, and her regular spiritual musings, where she combines comedy, casual chat, and high spiritual understandings over a cup of coffee. JC is a single mother of a young daughter with autism, and in her pursuit for a better world for her daughter and fellow truth seekers, JC has been driven to find the answers that will provide everyone with a state of balance, hope, and tools to survive the current spiritual war. In the space of a year, JC has hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube, Facebook, Telegram and Twitter, and is currently writing a course on how to awaken your natural intuition psychic abilities. Yeah, so there you go. So I'm going to play the pre-record. There's a couple of things I'm going to mention after the pre-record. So I will see you on the far side. Enjoy, and I'll see you in a few minutes. Good evening, JC. Thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing?
I'm great, Alan. I'm so excited to be here. And I'm very, very privileged to be here, actually.
Brilliant. I know this is a pre-record, obviously. So we have to be, unfortunately, with the chat room being live and there might be questions coming in, unfortunately, we can't answer the questions. But last week when I mentioned that you're going to be on the show, I did get a couple of questions in. So I have a couple of questions to ask you later on. But before we actually get into it and get, you know, talking about what's going on, this madness in the world, tell me about your awakening. Tell me about your what woke you up to what was going on, and your psychic abilities, and how did they trigger? How did they get activated?
Well, this has been, oh, goodness me, this is a very long process because I'd have to go through my whole life. I mean, as a child, I was a very, very sensitive child. I could see spirits. I could feel things. I was very empathic. And I didn't know what that was. So I didn't understand why I could feel everyone's feelings, and I thought they were my own feelings. And so that led to a lot of, I was a little bit introverted, which is great. Most people won't understand that about me. But I came out of my shell and started using comedy from a very young age because I come from quite a loud family. And that sort of covered up a lot of that insecurity and things like that. But as far as awakening goes, I come from quite a conservative Christian background. And then as you get older and you start to form your own ideas, I started to realize that fundamentalist sort of attitude towards Christianity was something that I didn't like. You know, I loved God, I loved Jesus, I loved all of that, but I didn't like that. So I think that started me on realizing and reawakening in my teenage years spirituality rather than just religion. And so an old lady we knew died, and we inherited a whole heap of books, and a lot of them were esoteric books. And so from about the age of 15, I started reading and immersing myself in these books, palmistry and tarot and cards. And it was just like a party trick for me when I was a kid. And I would take these books to school and practice on my friends. And sooner or later, this very psychic part of me that I had buried as a child came out again, and I started realizing that I wasn't just making it up. It was true, you know, the things that I was picking up about with my friends and things like that. And so then that grew into this love of an understanding of metaphysical things and stuff like that. I was always the black sheep of the family. I was always the person that thought outside the box. I'm an artist. I've got a finance and design degree and a theatre degree. I'm a writer. I do all sorts of things. I do comedy. I do acting. I do all sorts of things. And so my mind has always been a lateral thinker. I've never been one to follow the crowd. So I guess the spirituality, the psychic ability and the awakening was always there because I always thought differently than the crowd. And so when something like, I can remember in the 90s, I always had that skeptical sort of or cynical kind of view about the world. I remember when I was at university studying theatre, I did a paper on the propaganda in the media, in the mainstream media. We're talking about 1998. That was when I was doing my
theatre degree. That's going back a while, yeah.
Yeah. So I was quite aware of the propaganda that was happening. I was quite aware of the false headlines that was going on, particularly in certain ethnic groups in Sydney, in Australia. And that led to, I remember 9/11, and my sister, we just dropped her off at the airport to go to Lebanon, because I'm from Lebanon originally. And she was visiting relatives, and she used to go every year and work there as well. And we just said goodbye to her on the plane. It was September 11th. And we come home, we turn on the TV, and there is these planes crashing into these buildings. And the first thing I thought was, they're going to blame the Arabs.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Well, and this is fake. This is fake. They're going to blame the Arabs.
Planes going into the building. Allegedly, yeah. They're going into the building.
Yeah. So, I guess that kind of awareness has always been there. And because I used to, you know, one of my favourite things I used to do, because I used to go to university in Sydney, we'd go after class, we'd go to the Queen Victoria building in Sydney. Opposite there used to be this esoteric bookshop, and we used to go in there and read all of these amazing, and I think one of the first books that blew my mind in 1993 or 94, I can't remember, it must have been 94, was The Celestine Prophecy. And that, you know, and that sort of led me down all of these other roads to trying to understand metaphysical things. If you're talking about me being about 18 years old and thinking of these things, and then I also had like day jobs as a university student. I worked at Luna Park, which is like this huge amusement park under the Harbour Bridge. And one of the people there was a psychic. And so I would go to psychics to learn from them, not to get a reading. So I'd get a reading, but and every psychic I'd go to, they said, you should be doing this. Why aren't you doing? And I'm like, what? How do you know that I'm interested? And they'd always say the same thing. You could be doing this. So all of that accumulated interest. These were personal interests of mine, I guess, and you've got your day jobs and all of that sort of stuff, but that's always there in the background, right? And I really only took it seriously in myself. Probably I started doing it around about 18 or 19. I properly started doing readings, but I didn't do it as a full-time thing. It was just always people knew me as that, but they also knew me as an artist.
Yeah.
And then there's that whole struggle as this, very talented, gifted artist, because at the age of 19, I was at university studying design, and I applied for a job. This is way back. I applied for a job at Disney to do animation, right? And I made it through all the steps, and they were very impressed, and I made it to the final step, and they offered me a job out of 900 applicants.
Very good.
To be an animator, okay, yeah. And I was 19. And something in me just was like, I can't work for these people. And I didn't know why. And I kept thinking I was sabotaging myself. I didn't understand why. And I kept saying to myself, I should take that job. Why did I say no? Why did I not? I say no. It's something in me. I'm in that building. I'm sitting there doing this animation and something in me is going, don't do this. Don't take this job, right? So there's all of this success. You know, I'm very good at what I do. I'm very good at that. I'm talking about my theatre, my fine arts, my study. I, you know, graduated with the highest marks and all of these things, straight A student. And yet I don't know how to make a living out of the things that I love. I couldn't get that in my head. How do I be an artist? How do I be a psychic? How do I make a living out of these things? I guess like most spiritual people, I didn't understand how do you make a living from something that's in a
I'll tell you one thing about readings. Like you, yeah. I had the same thing. I had a medium tell me that I had to join a development circle, which is what I did. And I got involved in the spiritual churches and joined a development circle and then ran my own circle over here in Ireland back in 2007. But one of the things that you come across all the time being involved in the spiritual side is people say, well, you got a gift from God. You should be doing it for free. And I think, well, I'm sure plumbers and electricians and builders also have a gift from God, but they don't bloody do it for free. They charge you. So there's this perception. It's an exchange of energy. So mediums should never be worried about charging a fee for a reading. Now, if the person's not happy with it, then you could turn around and go, okay, that's fine. But at the end of the day.
Sorry about that, Alan. Yeah, I was, it just took me a long time. It took me in my 20s and 30s, you know, I'm sitting there trying to work out how do I do this? And I would always charge a pittance. And it wasn't just that. Even art is the same. Okay, so I knew I was very good at art. I was the best, right, at what I did. And people themselves just didn't understand how, you know, they don't value it, especially in Australia. They don't value art. They don't value these things. And I would say to them, you know, if I was an accountant, you'd pay me for my hours. This is not just what I do. It's a gift, you know, so it's a very special gift. But then I think, it finally came about that I did something which I never thought I would do, and I got offered a job in my 30s to do readings on the phone for a very well-known website, you know, that they were doing phone readings. And I have to say, I thought, I've always done it face-to-face. I was always doing it face-to-face. So I was doing part-time psychic readings in store, in crystal shops and bookshops and things like that. And I combined my art with that and did spirit guide portraits and things like that as well. And I got quite a bit of repeat customers and people always wanted, you know, I was quite popular. But then a lady offered me, she said, I've got this big website. I'd like you to do readings. And I didn't know how. I was like, is this going to still work? And it did. It still worked. It didn't matter how far away they were. It didn't matter if I never saw them. It all worked, right? We were all still connected. And what I found out very quickly is that the industry itself, even though these websites do hire, proper professional psychics, intuitives, mediums, whatever you want to call them, and they're very good at what they do, a lot of them are not genuine.
Yeah.
And the actual person running the website is telling me, you can't tell them that their boyfriend's not coming back. Because you need them to come back again and again. And I said, I don't lie. I kept saying to her, I don't lie. And she says, no, you don't understand. You need to tell them that their boyfriend's coming back and give them some hopes that they can call back again, even if you think they're not coming back. And I thought, there is no way I'm going to lie. So I remember one of my first customers, she'd called all the psychics in the book. I was the newest one. She called me and her boyfriend wasn't coming back. And I told her, and I was very blunt, and I said, listen, I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm sorry, but he's moved on. He's not coming back. And she was devastated and crying, and she put a complaint forward. And the next day she contacted me and left a message, and this is this customer. And she said, "I just want to thank you. You are the only psychic out of all the people on this site that I've called who told me the truth. I found out today that everything that you said came true." And that was my thing. My thing was that I would never lie, no matter how hard it was to tell the people. I have to tell them the truth, because I believe, you know, intuition is a gift. I mean, we all have intuition. But some of us hone that more acutely than others, right?
Yeah.
And for those of us who have it more prominently and have the gift of the gab, and we're able to articulate these intuitive feelings and able to make an impact on people with our intuition and our gifts, it's given to you, I believe, and I know a lot of people who are religious will disagree, it's given to you by God. Because what it's there for is it's there to assist people rather than just give predictions. It's about sensing where that person's at in their life at that stage, and you're understanding and perceiving things that most people can't perceive. And what you're trying to do is, it's not a party trick, and you're not trying to just prove yourself right. You're trying to give people scope in something that they can't quite see, but you're sensing on another level. And so what you're trying to do is, you're just trying to give them the big picture of their life and say, now, because of what I'm sensing around this and the condition around this particular behavior, if you do this, this will happen. And if you do this, this will happen. And so what you're doing is, you're just giving people clarity on the circumstances. This is a gift, and it's been given to you. And if you misuse that gift by lying or trying to deceive the person for personal gain, I believe it will be taken away from you. And I believe also the karmic repercussions are huge.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's very important, and I realized early on the spiritual side, was that intent is everything. If you have the wrong intent, you know, your brain might try and convince you that you're doing the right thing, but your soul or your spirit will say, well, actually, no, that's the wrong intent. And I have come across mediums that I decided to walk away from, because they were going to say, well, I have my mortgage to pay this week and I have to get 5 readings. And I said, why don't you just give it to source? Let source deal with it. If you're doing it with the right intent, with a good heart, that business will come to you. Stop getting materialistic about it and worrying about, you know, how to pay the bills. If you put the right intent out there, the right intention out there, it will come back to you. And there's too many people doing it for the wrong reasons. And absolutely. So I just kind of walked away and I said, I don't really want to get involved in it, you know?
Absolutely, Alan. And this is what's happened to me on YouTube. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and it's not something that I expected to fall into with YouTube. Definitely not. And being on a public platform and having sudden popularity or going viral suddenly within like a week of putting a video up was fraught with a lot of people wanting to ride your coattails, and they want to be around you for the wrong reasons, and you're pulled in all sorts of directions, and you're called, for example, you're called a truther, and so the truther circles pull you in, and that's a whole network in itself. And at first I thought, I always used to watch that person's show. Oh, my goodness, they want me on their show. This is great. I love them. I want to meet them. And I just genuinely wanted to speak to these people, right? And after a while I started to realize I need to just follow what my intuition is telling me. I can't force a show to come about. I can't force myself to do a show with anyone just because they asked me. I have to genuinely feel the energy of the collective, because I'm now doing work for the collective. I'm sensing and tapping into where everyone's at. Viewers will always say, wow, this is exactly what I needed today. How did you know this is the message I wanted? Because I'm tapping into where everyone's at and I'm following that gut instinct. And so that genuine thing that you're talking about, and you know, this whole needing money thing, and, you know, we're doing it for the money. The same thing goes when you've got a public platform. You can't just do something because it'll get you promotion. You can't just go, yeah, I'm going to go on that person's show and then they can have me on their show so that I can promote myself. As soon as I get a whiff of anything like that, I avoid that person like the plague. I'm out the door, because I've had a lot of popular channels ask me on and I've declined.
Can I just say something to add to that as well?
Yeah.
And something from a radio host point of view that I've got. I've had, lucky enough, it doesn't happen very often, but it has happened, where they will send you an email, you invite somebody on, because I always say I'm a dad with a microphone trying to find out what's going on in the world. And I've been doing this 11 years and I still do the same thing. And I still say I'm the same person, just trying to find out what's going on. You know, no airs or graces. That's the way I see it. But I do get guests, and some of these guests are spiritual people. And the first thing they go, oh, yes, I'll come on your show. How many listeners do you have? Mm-hmm. And I know straight away that that's their ego coming in. And I go, well, if you're doing it for the right reasons and the right intent to help educate people, then you shouldn't matter. You shouldn't care how many listeners I have. So a lot of the time, obviously for them, because they want their ego massaged, I blow up the numbers for them, you know. But there's a couple of people who I've, one person in particular who's well known on YouTube, and their assistant sent me about 10 questions they wanted to know before the radio show. So I just sent an email back and go, I'm sorry, you're not the kind of guest I want on my show. I'm looking for genuine people who really want to help others, and who are not concerned about the kind of numbers and all the PR and marketing that goes with it. And this is a well-known person that's on YouTube. So, you know, and as I say, it's very rare when it happens, but it does happen. And I don't have time for that ego massaging, you know. I'm not interested in it. I'm looking for genuine people that want to help others, and who'll come on the show and they can share their experiences so people can learn from it.
Yeah, it has to come from a genuine place, and people can sense that all up, you know. So if anything feels forced in any way, I usually get a really bad feeling beforehand. And if I feel like I'm doing something out of obligation, and I think that that's the biggest thing I've learned in the past 12 months, is that to never do anything out of obligation, right? Because that's actually a big, that sort of cuts your intuition. It stops you from listening to your intuition. Your intuition will always guide you. So if you're feeling a sense of fear or a sense of doubt or a sense of hesitancy before doing something, but you're going ahead anyway out of obligation, you've actually cut that intuition off. And so I've even really close people that I care about who've asked me to be on their shows, I've actually said no to them because I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it was the right thing to do. At the time, I wasn't feeling it. And I always knew that the right feeling would come along and I would eventually do a show with them. But in the end, I mainly just had to focus on my own message. And I work very, very intuitively and spur of the moment. I don't like planning too much. I think planning blocks a lot of stuff. You know, like a couple of days ago, I put out a pendulum video. Now, my daughter was at school and I'm just like, right, I've got a couple of hours. I just had this feeling. I was like, I really need to do a dowsing video again. And I've got this time and I'm just going to do it. And what I'll do is I'll do about an hour. I didn't even have any questions prepared. I just meditated. I centered myself and I did it. And I wanted to use it as a lesson for people so they understood how to do dowsing. And then I said, I'll put 20 minutes of it on YouTube and I want to give back to my people on Patreon, and I'll put the whole thing, the full thing on Patreon, right? Because I haven't done an exclusive thing for them in a long time. So I thought I'll just do it. And I do things like that at the spur of the moment. So my admins, my poor moderators and admins that helped me out with my on the YouTube channel to do the live chat and stuff like that, it'll be like 10 minutes and I'll go, right, I'm going to do a live. And they're like, what? Hang on, wait. And I'm just like, I just get this feeling to do it. And this is how I started this weekend thing called Coffee Talk, which just came out of the blue because I was bored one day. My daughter was at her dad's and I was like, I woke up in the morning and I was like, had these thoughts running through my head from the week, you know, it, sort of these metaphysical, spiritual thoughts. And I just sort of was pressed record and I started live and all these people were like, what? And YouTube, of course, shadow bans me, so hardly anyone got a notification, and all these people came on, and then just became this thing, and stuff just comes out of my mouth, and it's all intuitive, right? And that is how we have to be. We have to come from this place of rawness and uninhibited parts of ourselves, and without making excuses, without apologizing, and being absolutely truthful and as raw as you can be. And that sometimes comes with swearing and sometimes it comes with mistakes. But when you do that, when you take that risk and you become, you just are yourself, people feel that and they understand. And this is, I'm not just talking about psychics, I'm talking about everyone. And we're at this place now in the world where the reason why we are in the place where we're at in the world is because everybody is doing things out of obligation and they're lying to themselves and they don't want to see the truth and they are not living their truth and they're not standing up for what they truly believe in. And those that are taking the risk, and they are saying, I'm aligned with God and my heart is telling me, for example, don't get the jab, even if it means I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's where we have to be. And that's what I'm saying to people is that when you do that, it's the most liberating thing. It's scary, but it's the most liberating thing. And then imagine doing that and doing that on a public platform for hundreds of thousands of people to watch you, and they can see every little nuance in your face when you talk, and they're able to sense from the tone of your voice whether or not you're telling the truth or whether or not you're lying. That's a big risky thing to do, but it empowers so many people when you do it, right? Because it tells them it's okay for me to be truthful and raw.
Yeah, I would say I would add to that as well, the power of the email even, and something that's said. It's incredible when we have this platform. I mean, you know, we do have a responsibility as well. And I think because there are vulnerable people out there, and I think from myself doing the radio show, and obviously yourself, because you just came onto the scene and all of a sudden everybody got to know JCK and the readings you were doing, and they were very interesting, very insightful. And obviously you'll always have your naysayers, and I won't go into it now, but psychologically you break it down into 33%, 33%, 33%. I've mentioned before on the show. So there's people out there that will never like you. So don't worry about it. Just focus on the people who like you. But you came on the scene all of a sudden, and I watch your videos. I said, God, this woman has a great information, being involved in the spiritual side as well. I could pick up on that, you know, the information that you're putting out there. And I do feel there are, you have to be true to yourself, but there are complications in this 3D world in society that it's not as easy as just breaking away. I know for some people it might have been, but for others it's not, because you have to take into account the country that you're in, the circumstances you're in, and you do the best you can and try and be as truthful and try and be as just be yourself as much as you can in the situation you're in until an opportunity comes along where you can move forward. And if you manifest, put the manifestation out there, put your thoughts out there, because thoughts are energy, and what you think, how you think, put them out there. And if you're getting negative thoughts, it's like a movie, like a PowerPoint presentation. I just say to people, change the slide. If a negative thought comes in, change the slide and have your nice place that you go to. So if you're feeling down, always think about when you were happy, something or a place that you went to or something that happened in your life that were you really happy. The other thing I always say to people is put music on that you like. I mean, I said to my listeners, I'm going to give out a little secret now. When I'm doing the dinner, I put on the 70s or 80s music and I'm dancing at the cooker, right? Because it's very hard to dance. You know, when you're feeling down, it's very hard to get motivated. But if you put on songs you like and just get moving, you know, make it more that, you know, you're making the conscious effort and then let the subconscious kick in. So all these kind of methods that we just need to be aware of to keep our energy up because, and something I want to get into now is your information regarding where we're going. You know, we talk about the job, we talk about what's going on with people. And I mentioned it to Mark, obviously Mark was on, you know, Mark and Mark was on the show. And I mentioned about the East and West Gate and this issue that we're going to be facing. Well, maybe facing, I don't know. It depends on what's coming down the line because a lot of people have different ideas as to what might be happening regarding air. Ascension, and I'll say inverted commas ascension, because we don't know, but there's a lot of talk about, you know, we're seeing the energies hitting the planet with the Schumann frequency and people are feeling it. And you have people like Dolores Cannon was talking about this change and this energy change, and I've interviewed dozens of QHHT people and people, and they're talking about the same thing. But the timeline seems to be the issue. When is it going to happen? Obviously we can't put a date on it, but some people have said it was going to happen last year and it didn't happen. Yeah. So I've been doing this for so long now. I just, when I hear people talking about, oh yeah, it's going to be like, you know, March and February or whatever, I go, yeah, whatever, because I've just heard it too many times. So I am a bit of a skeptic. I'm an open-minded skeptic, right? But I'd just like to get your take on what you're getting, how you feel about it and what you feel is going on. And is this going to be a frequency divide between people, between the jabbed and unjabbed and awake and aware and the people who are still in the matrix? What's your take on that?
It's honestly, Alan, it is something that is so, we're just in this constant state of flux. It's probably the hardest thing to be a psychic with everybody expecting dates and outcomes because everybody is so over it and they really just want definitive answers. And I sort of have to keep what happened to me. And unfortunately, I did this pendulum thing 2 days ago and I was avoiding it for quite a while because I started to realize as I was breaking a lot of this information down, I realized the spiritual aspect of this and how a lot of the stuff that the Taoists speak of and, you know, Vedic teachings and all of that sort of stuff about going within and about us creating our own universe and how when you this is just an illusory world and all of that sort of stuff, you start to realize that the whole timing of things is not set in stone and that every time we observe it and every time we try to predict it, it shifts. Okay. And it's this constant shifting. Because what it's doing is our reality is reacting to how us as a collective, not just as individuals, as a collective, are manifesting the world around us. And so it starts to become really, really difficult because a lot of the dates that I genuinely, before I even had a platform, I was getting these downloads of dates and I was like, oh my gosh. And I'd say these dates and then I put them out there and now I'm realizing, holy crap, we've got to add like another 12 months to that date because so many psychics are saying the same thing. It's like the timeline's shifting. Every time we observe it, it's shifting and it's pushing further. And then I have to say, this is a big cosmic joke. It really is, because what we know that we are in an age that there is definitely, this is a once in a millennia, like multi millennia time in this realm's existence, okay? It is a time of this greatest awakening. There is no doubt about that. It is not about a virus. It is about an entire race of beings ascending, okay? Mm. And that it is splitting us apart. I have certain beliefs that I can tell you that I have as far as a solid understanding, I thought I had it down pat when I got a QHHT session, okay? And I didn't just have one. I had about three or four, okay?
Okay.
And I thought my higher self was like, yep, I've got the answer. These spaceships are coming, right? They're coming. We all had the same, and I never knew. I never knew there was other people feeling the same thing. I think a week before I booked in I finally watched this very well-known video of Alison Coe, who is a QHHT practitioner. She put a transcript out and I'd finally watched it, right? And I was like, oh my God, I've been picking up on this stuff, right? So I'd been picking up on it in these massive dreams, and I got like a communication one day. I woke up in the middle of the night and this beam of information came through the door or the window, and I felt like a spaceship was talking to me and giving me this information, and it was exactly like what she was saying, right? And I was like, what they're coming to take us on spaceships? But I think that let me explain this to the people who haven't watched that video, because I did take it down because I was really worried. It was very private, by the way. But I put it out there and I was in a very vulnerable position in deep hypnosis, which most people do not put their own hypnosis sessions out. I did edit little bits out that were very private that involved other people.
Okay.
There was a past life in there. It started off with a past life. I'll have to send you the thing. It started off with a past life that was relevant to this life, and I went straight into the death. It was like the scene of me dying. And after the death, Gordon Smith was the one doing the regression, tells me, what do you see around you? And first I'm in the bedroom of this medieval, you know, I was like a aristocrat. Suddenly it shifts into this other scene and I'm on a spaceship after death. And I'm waking up. And I'm looking around and there's a man beside me unhooking me from a machine. And I'm like, who are you? And he looks up at me and he says, you always say that. And I say, no, seriously, who are you? And he says, okay, do I need to explain this again? Let me put it this way. We go down and we help the people out and we live our lives. And then when you die, you come back here and you start all over again. And this was literally like a matrix. It was like we're on a spaceship.
Yeah.
So my life in between lives is I'm a being who's not human. I go into this avatar life, right? So I'm from some other planet.
Okay.
All right, so my higher self is, or my whatever it is, and then we go into the 3D realm and it's like a movie. And he says this to me in the regret, like the, I'm experiencing this in real life.
Okay.
He's saying to me, it's just a game. It's just a game. We go in there, we help the humans, we get out. It's just a game.
Okay, well, the question I have as you said, you mentioned Avatar, the movie. Mm-hmm. I've seen a meme saying, imagine you're on your deathbed and as your eyes close, all of a sudden somebody takes off a VR headset and says to you, what do you think of that? Wasn't that a good game, right? But as you said with Avatar, the whole disconnecting, because I've interviewed Anthony Peake, put Anthony's show on air, and Anthony is big into the science. He's written 10 books and we talk about this quantum program that we're in. And that sounds to me like you're putting the program, but what annoys me with this approach is a lot of people are suffering, mm-hmm. and you know, emotional, physical and everything else. And to me, I'm an IT guy, to me, you know, it's okay getting your Sim City. In the 90s, I mentioned it to Mark. They had this game in the 90s called Sim City, and you run everything. But that was just a computer game. But whoever is controlling this as advanced game, if it is what it is, you know, they obviously have no empathy, because there's people in this game who are suffering. physically, emotionally, and everything else. To me, that's a bit twisted. Do you not think?
It does seem like it's very twisted, but we don't know the full story of the higher self and what the jet, because what we are, and this is my belief, you don't have to believe this, we are all fractals of God. We come from God. We come from source. Okay, we are tiny particles of God. And the concept is that God is experiencing itself in various
ways. I agree with that. Yeah? Totally agree with that. And we have and to find a way back to God.
But in order to know that, there is this oversoul or this higher self that knows the big picture of where you're going and what you're experiencing for the greater good, okay, and how it all fits in as a puzzle and as a chess piece and a game. It really is a game, you know, it really is. And, yes, the suffering feels real. It has to in order for the soul to develop and to experience the extremes of this duality in this realm, okay. It has to suffer. And it has to feel real in order for you to learn those lessons of that you are a divine creator being and you are part of God, but you forgot that you were that, right? And in all of those experiences and all these variables, and we don't, we're little humans with tiny little human brains at the moment, okay, but we have this part of ourselves that is so divine. And the fun of it is remembering that. And going back to that and all the variables, all the multitude of infinite possibilities of that needs to be experienced. That's what we're experiencing now. And so you could call it suffering, but of course you're going to call it suffering. Mm. Life is suffering. That is the whole Buddhist philosophy. It is. It's suffering. It has to be that. And the way to enlightenment is to rise above that suffering. Okay.
So that's question the then. Point. What about the people, you know, when I was involved in the spiritual side, it was said to me that depending on the life you've chosen to come down next, let's say, you know, they plug you in again and go, right, okay, this is going to be your next life.
Well, let me say, not everyone is plugged in. I don't believe everybody is plugged in, and I don't believe everybody goes on a spaceship.
Do you believe then that there are the girl in the red dress in the Matrix that are part of the program? Yep. They wouldn't be plugged in, for example.
No, they're the holographic people. And that came through in my hypnosis session, that there were a large percentage of the people on Earth are holographic, but they're like biobots. That was the term my higher self used in the hypnosis session. They are programmable biobots. They can give birth, they can recreate, and it's part of this hologram. Now, when we say hologram, people think computer game, but it is so real.
Like the hologram in Star Trek.
But it's so real, and it has living matter in it, okay, but it's malleable.
Yeah.
And there are people who are like that, and this is where this suffering thing comes in. Now, if this is a hypothesis, if this is a game and it's a realm, and let's say there's about 10 to 20% of us who are organic, organic consciousness.
Yeah.
Some of us are earthlings, meaning that we originated from here. Our souls have always been here and incarnated here. And then there's a small percentage of us who are light beings or starseeds who've come from other realms to help out in this ascension process. Okay. And we've incarnated here. We're the ones on the spaceships coming in here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The others were already here amongst the holographic people.
Okay.
So you've got organic consciousness in earthling form, organic consciousness from star seeds, but then you've got a whole bunch of holographic people. Now, these might be the people who are wearing the masks. And the most unsettling thought is, you mean to tell me that my mother is holographic? You mean to tell me that my brother is holographic? Yes. More than likely, if you're the black sheep of the family, more than likely. Okay. And that is awful to consider, because we want to believe that all of us are these sentient beings who come from God, blah, 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 blah. Right? This is just a theory, and I'm starting to see this. The more I'm diving deep into this, and the thing that helps me to understand and cope and take the view from the outside, so that you, because you're going to spiral into helplessness if you don't take this view of rising above. And you have to take those. There's something about these ancient teachings from Taoist philosophy, from Buddhist philosophy, from Hindu traditions, these ancient religions. Okay, there's something about this whole concept of looking at the, you know, viewing the world and life from a higher perspective in order to not experience the suffering, so that you can have the experience without falling into despair. Okay,
so what about the negative side of it? What about the, because, you know, like me and you and a lot of people are aware that there's, we don't need money. We could have brilliant health, you know. I mean, Enoch in the Bible, if you want to refer to that, you know, lived till 800 years or 900 years, and the sons as well. So we know that the bodies are capable of living longer, but we know that we have the negative element. Now, what people are saying, and now I'm very open-minded, you know, I'm, you know, if I see the evidence, but I'm happy to entertain all kind of approaches to the how things are defined. And one of the things was that source, I'll always say source rather than God, because I think God is too restrictive. That's why I'd say source.
Yeah.
It's, you know, bigger. But so source, so we're fragments of source and we're experiencing life. Now, our journey is to go back to source. So we are, we get disconnected as a kind of a being or a particle of source. We get disconnected and our role or our journey is to go get back to source, get back to understand who we are and get back to source. But somewhere along the line, you know, people have said that either source made a mistake or source purposely added in the negative element because everything was too airy-fairy and, you know, everything was just bland and nothing was happening. And source said, right, okay, we're going to add in a negative element just to kind of spice things up.
Now, yeah, obviously, the way that's come through for me is I think it came through in one of my hypnosis sessions. So you have to think of this particular density, this particular realm, 3D realm, had to have duality. Okay. And when you have good, you have to have bad. So when you have God, you have to have the opposite of God. When you have creation, you have anti-creation. Okay. And so we personified, just as we personify God or source, we personified the evil in the form of the devil or Satan, right? And what it is it's thought forms and it's energy. And it's manifested as demons and archonic entities and things like that, okay? And what's happened now, what I believe has happened at this peak, okay, this awakening, is that so you've got the purest light, which is God, okay? And on the very extreme, it's almost like pulling apart. So you've got the very extreme, you've got the deepest, darkest depravity that is now coming to the surface, and we're realizing what's been going on in this world with, you know, satanic ritual abuse, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so it has to experience the deepest, darkest. And people go, well, where is God? If God was a loving God, he wouldn't have created this. But the whole point is, in order for source, this magnificent, all that is, all that ever was, it is everything and nothing. That's what God is, you know. In Hinduism, they call him zero, zero point, right? So he's nothing. It's like from nothing, right? In order to experience itself, it had to have an extreme opposite. It had to have that in order to have the variables in between, all the infinite possibilities in between the extremest of good, the most extreme good, and the most extreme bad, right? So that wasn't a mistake. You know, God and life, creation does not make a mistake. But there's so many variables and possibilities. And then you add free will to that, okay, and that's where you get anything is possible. Because if there was no free will, and there are some dimensions where there is no free will, and there are some dimensions where it is just pure light and good and there's nothing – but it's not exciting. You know, the challenges are the things that make us live in this realm. This is, the whole point is we're challenging ourselves and we're feeling that need to fulfill certain things and to learn certain things and to undo karma and to experience stuff and deprogram ourselves and learn these lessons. But you can't do that when everything is good. You just can't. You can't.
Okay, no, I do understand, obviously, that we have to have good and bad. And it goes back to that, you know, the Native American grandfather, you know, the grandson is there and he goes, you have two wolves inside you. You know that, you're probably saying that. And, of course, free will lets us make a choice on what side of the game we want to play and where we want to be and where we want to put our energy. Going back to what you said about the idea that you're being unplugged after you die, where do you see us going with this ascension? Because I see in the video that you talked about, Alison Cole, and I found it interesting. Again, I've heard similar things in the past before. So, you know, again, I put it on the shelf and I go, okay, we'll leave it there. But that's interesting. She talks about going on the ships. Well, they made the Twilight Zone in the 60s called a show called How to Serve Man. And at the end of it, the humans thought it was all about them coming down to serve us. But it turned out that, you know, it was a cookbook. You know, they were eating us. Right?
Oh, yeah. Simpsons made a parody of that, I think. Yeah. How to cook for humans.
So, and I've had a couple of people on the show, Chris, I forget his last name, a few years ago on OIM. And he said, the last thing you need to do is get on the actual any ships, because that's your consent. You're probably food for them heading back to whatever planet you go to.
Yeah, I've heard that theory. So, yeah.
Again, that's another, you know, take on things. And everybody's going, well, do we, don't we, do we, don't we, what do we do? So I was just wondering, what's your take on the ascension path and the energy split? Because people are saying that we're going to have a solar flash and what will happen is all of a sudden we'll be in 5D and we'll have our singularity and we can bring our human bodies with us. Or other people might say, well, actually you have to die and then obviously you'll change energy. Yeah. So I don't know.
So here's the paradox. Okay. So if you knew exactly what was going to happen in your ascension process, would you be working on yourself in the right way and learning the lessons you had to learn organically? Or would you be self-conscious of everything that you were doing and then halt your progress? So do you understand? So I want to explain to you something because I do want to answer your question. And I want to answer your question about the problem. Let's just call it the problem with the hypnosis video. Okay. The problem with the hypnosis experience that I had, because that was an intense month for me. Okay. It was a massive, I had to take a break. All of August was off the table because of that. Okay. Because I believe what happened to me was my higher self gave me this story. Okay. I think what happened was I tapped into something that we weren't supposed to know. And I think Dolores Cannon had it right. I don't think she was being misled. Dolores Cannon in her work had, and she always said in her work that if thousands of clients were all saying the same thing and we're taking them into the deepest part of their subconscious mind, because her method took them into the somnambulic state, okay, where you can't lie, right? Your higher self is not going to lie. If thousands of people are saying the same thing, then we can gather that this is happening, okay? Because they're getting answers on healing, they're getting answers on things that people don't know about. And so what I believe is this is how tricky our higher self is, okay? I think what happened to me was, so I get this story that the ships are coming, they're going to take us, and they're going to take us to 5D, right? And this is kind of exactly what everyone else is saying in a way. There was a different variation. I think some people had said that there was a solar flash and we were only temporarily going up on the ships, the people who couldn't withstand it. And then we were going to be brought back again and all of this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I ruminated on this stuff with some friends of mine for weeks. And we were like, and I did so many sessions. And then I went and saw another hypnotherapist in Australia and she did a few sessions with me. And we got more information, okay? And it was unbelievable. She was just like, I haven't heard anything like this. It's unbelievable, mind-blowing. It's like something from sci-fi. I truly believe that my higher self said to me, because it was so perfect and amazing, it was saying we're all going to 5D and this is going to happen. You have the perfect body and you're going to have this and you're going to have amazing and this is, right? And my higher self said, right, this is what would you do if you got everything you wanted right now? We gave it to you. We said it's going to happen on this date and you get everything you wanted. Perfect body, perfect health. You get to be with the person you want to be with. You get to go live in a beautiful world. No conflict. You know, you're going to rebuild this whole brilliant world. Okay. And it's all 5D and everyone loves each other and all the bad stuff goes away. Right. That caused a massive conundrum for me because as I ruminated on this, what ended up happening in that month of August was, I had this massive realization that we're not supposed to know what happens. And I tapped into something that Dolores Cannon had said, that when they do a reset, the caretakers of us, now they're not God, they didn't create us, they're our caretakers, which are they're these higher beings. And whatever they look like, we don't know. They might be from various realms, okay, but they've been here longer than us in the 3D earthly realm. And some of us are the volunteers from these other realms coming in to help. That the ships come, take us out, reset the whole program and put us back in. That's what Dolores Cannon pretty much said. Maybe we're not supposed to know that that's what they do. We put reminders in our world to remind us of where we came from. So like the Tartarian structures and these buildings that don't work and why, and Atlantis and all of it. Hang on, what is this stuff? Why all these things? Because it's reminding us when we get that mind wipe with the reset of where you came from, right, that you're actually from somewhere else. And then we have to, this is part of the game, undoing that and relearning it. Why is history reset again? And they will only intervene, these beings, when we're about to annihilate ourselves because of free will. They will never, ever intervene unless something goes against our free will. So if our free will has been taken away from us, for example, with the jabs, and we don't know, maybe our higher self did agree to die after taking a vaccine. We don't know what each individual contract is. But if there are enough of us who didn't agree to being annihilated by, for example, a nuclear bomb, then our caretakers come in and they reset everything and they will stop time. They'll come in, take us on the ships, reset the whole thing and put us back again. And we won't remember.
Yeah, well, see, the vagueness.
This is the conundrum. This is the possibility. So my conclusion was, after all of that going, it really, as Dolores Cannon says, it's mind candy. It is so, it does your head in. It's not something you should be dwelling on because we're not meant to dwell on it. And it's not about not wanting to know the truth. It's just about you can't function as a 3D person with 3D needs and concerns when you are focused on the complexity of our reality, when you will never understand it and you're not supposed to. That's the whole purpose of this.
Okay, a couple of questions from that. One is, that's fine, I get that, and I totally agree. We have to be able to function as 3D. What people would be asking, the question would be, is there a point in time where we are now where there will be a split between the frequencies and that's going to reset, is going to happen? Because we've had it 5 or 6 times already on the earth. And are we near that time now? That's probably what people are concerned about.
I understand
if it happens. And then the other thing is the whole idea about, you know, well, it could be part of our contract. I've heard people also turn around and go, well, we'll just say no consent, just nullify the contract and say we're not doing that contract anymore. Just no consent. Now, I don't know whether
that works. You'd have to be conscious of what your contract was.
Yeah, exactly.
No consent.
Yeah. You'd have to know what was in the contract before you'd say no consent to it, yeah.
Well, it's your higher self, and the higher self is the closest thing to God. I mean, you know, it's part of a, if you imagine, so God can see everything that ever, time doesn't exist, okay? So time does not exist. In this realm, yeah, it exists. These are things that I talk about all the time in my videos, but you'd have to watch every video to understand. Like, you know, in the coffee talk and all that, I talk about all of this stuff. Time does not exist, but only we experience it as time. We tell stories to ourselves. And I mean, even the trees, when I've tapped into the trees, they've said this: you tell stories to yourself in order to understand the passing of time. Okay. Even these stories about the ships and all of that. Mm. Let me try and get this clear, because I was going somewhere with that other thought about the conclusion that I came to in regards to the 5D and 3D. The conclusion I came to was that even though I knew about these ships, I had to literally just say it could happen or it couldn't happen. I don't need to know about that right now. It goes back to the same philosophy that every ancient teaching has told us, is to, you have to focus on the now, because time does not exist. And the only power you have is control over the now. It doesn't matter how it happens, the 5D and the 3D split, because knowing how it happens stops it from happening in the way that we want, in the way it should happen. Does that make sense? We're
all affecting
this timeline because we keep observing that thing, and what it does is it prolongs it. Okay. So we keep saying there's this problem we've got to solve. When's this problem going to solve? When's this problem? And as you observe it, this is the conundrum. This is the whole thing about manifesting things and the law of attraction, is as you observe that thing, depending on where your focus is, it can exacerbate that thing and make more of it. Mm. So the problem becomes bigger. This is why you have to stop watching mainstream media and fear porn and focusing on the problem, because as you focus on the problem, you get more of the problem. Mm. And so same with the 3D, 5D split. We can have, it's nice to have these theories, but the bottom line is our higher self already knows what will happen. However, we need to experience it as a 3D person. We've been born into this time for a reason. There are certain things that need to happen. God knows everything that ever was, ever will be, and ever can happen. And our higher self has access to that, because this is the highest point. And so every single little movement that we make, every choice we make has an outcome, and it knows exactly what you need to do in this moment. But then there's this free will thing that happens, okay, that creates the variables. So the 3D, 5D split is definitely a frequency shift, okay? And it's us experiencing the extremes of this duality. And in doing so, we are destined to experience all our problems and our programs, and we're clearing old contracts, and we're clearing past timelines, and we're clearing our ancestors' things. And it's so brilliant in the way it works. It is so brilliant. Every challenge, like right now, people are losing their jobs and they're being forced out of a society that isn't working. They're being forced out of a satanic system. And instead of saying we've got to fight for our rights to get back into that system, it's literally forcing you to create a 5D system. Do you see how brilliant that is?
Yeah, yeah.
That is how the split occurs. The split occurs when we focus on the now and we get to the heart of what we truly are and who we truly are and our truth. Because when we stand up in truth and align ourselves with God and we trust in creation, because the vaccine is anti-creation, because it's saying, I don't trust God with my own immune system, right? When you align yourself with God and truth, then nothing can make you agree with the 3D world. So it literally forces you into a 5D consciousness. And that's the split. That's the split. Okay, you literally start resonating at a different frequency. Now, how is the technical thing of that? How does that happen? We can't know. We can theorize on it. Okay. We can call it a literal thing occurring where a spaceship comes and gets us and puts us in outside of the dome and puts us in another land. Or it could be a frequency shift and all realms exist in the same space at the same time because time and space don't exist and it's just an experience. Just like ghosts are in the same space as us, we just can't see them because they're vibrating at a different frequency. Okay, it doesn't matter. The whole point is that you focus on your heart and your truth and your purpose, and you focus on what you are manifesting, and you are in control of that. And the opposite, the 3D world will tell you you're not in control of that. We're in control of what you think, right? Mm. So you have to, that whole thing, that whole negativity has to be so extreme to push you into a different thought form, a different thought wave, so that you can create a new reality. So instead of trying to get back into the system that is broken, you create a new system. The new system is the 5D system, and that's the different frequency. That's why you're losing friends. That's why you're not seeing people anymore. That's why you can't talk to the people. You can still see them at the moment, okay, but you can't feel them anymore. Now, we don't know what's next. I've heard so many theories. I've felt certain things. So there's certain things that I've felt, but I can't quantify whether they are true or not. All I know is that my intuition is telling me that God wins. And has won, okay, but he is, or it is, that is, whatever you want to call God, is forcing you to be the greatest version of yourself. And in the end, what you win and what you evolve into is worth it, because you've cleared all of that old system of things into a higher vibrational frequency.
Okay.
The way I believe 5D to be, I believe it still has problem solving. Okay, so this, that when we do get into 5D, there's still going to be problems that need to be solved. There's just not so much extreme conflict where it's depraved, and it's a different kind of conflict. It's problem solving.
Okay, question for you, Anna. Is that why a lot of people, and I've said it on the show before, a lot of people who are outside the matrix or who are kind of awake and aware of what's going on are struggling less than the people who are inside the matrix, because they're still fighting the 3D system and they're not awake. So they're going through harder times than the people. Now, I'm not saying that the people outside are having it easy, but they're having it easier. It's not as bad as the people inside it.
I think everybody's got one foot in, like, so you've either got both feet in 3D, or you've got one foot in 3D, one foot in 5D. It's very hard to function unless you are isolated in this world if you're completely in 5D. Like, as in, when I say 5D, I mean like your mindset is there. You have to have the practical. You need to be grounded, because there's no one that perfect that has nothing to resolve. It's a flight of fancy to believe that you're just stuck in 5D. Okay, you still got to eat, you still got to do all these other stuff, deal with your children and problems and all of that. So that, and I feel that myself. You know, sometimes all it takes is, and it's so powerful, and they know it. The media is so powerful; it's almost got witchcraft on it. Okay, because it pulls you in, and it hypnotizes you, and it can, they not, it's a frequency, and it can shake your hope out of you, okay, that you just see one little clip of the police brutality against someone not wearing a mask, for example, and it will shake you to your core. That punch in the stomach feeling. Mm. If you watch something and it gives you that punch in the stomach, why are you watching that?
Yeah.
Do you want more of that in your world? I don't. Yeah. You use that, you know, that whole mistaken thing of, but I want to be informed. Of what? What are you being informed of? Of a reality that is keeping you stuck in the matrix. And if we're creative beings and we're creating this reality, this is going to take a hell of a long time if we've got a whole bunch of people who are awake, focusing their attention on the bloody, these setups that you've got and these little clips that you see on social media where people are getting brutalized or there's injustice happening. We already know, am I allowed to swear on your radio program? We already know the world is effed, okay? Yeah. We just need to un-eff it, okay?
Yeah. Well, I know it's a cliche. And, you know, you focus on what you want and, you know, what you focus on will expand. And again, it goes back to what I said earlier about the PowerPoint slide. If you're getting these
negative thoughts. It's not just a cliche. It's a truth. It's a universal truth.
Yeah. Put the energy out there and, and focus on it. And again, say to people, you know, about the media and all that fear porn, switch it off. I mean, I don't watch the media myself. I watch comedy on TV or I watch programs like, you know, car repair programs and stuff like that. All the good stuff. I try and I try and do my best to focus on the high energy stuff and stay away from the negative stuff. Now, on saying that, I've also come across spiritual people. You have to know your enemy. You have to know the tricks they're doing. I've been psychically attacked. So you have to know how to defend yourself and how to shield yourself because there is negative energy and entities out there. But I was only talking to somebody yesterday about this, and I've broken it down into three stages. And I said, first of all, you are in the matrix, and then you become aware of what's going on, the New World Order and all that, the cabal. And then you can become self-aware of who you are as a being and energy and everything else and why you have the job that you have to do to try and heal and help people. But the problem is sometimes the spiritual people who jump that step and they jump over the awareness of what's going on with the cabal and they become self-aware. And there's these people running off, going ahead and getting the vaccine. And you're going, no, you missed a step. You missed a step where why you are chosen or why you have this ability, because you have been given this ability because you have to help humanity and be aware of what's going on. But they missed that step.
I call them the fake love and light people, okay? They might talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
They appear.
This is why people have had a hard time with me, because they go, she's got red lipstick and we can see her cleavage and she swears and she eats meat. She can't be spiritual.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's got nothing. Whatever story you told yourself, that you've got to wear linen and wear patchouli and be a vegan, a raw vegan, and you've got to be all love and light and speak in a really sweet tone. If you think that's spirituality, you really missed a step, okay? Because it doesn't come from that. And I think that those people, the people that you're talking about that missed the step, they haven't done the work. They haven't done, you know, hit rock bottom and had to come back out of that and understand what's going on in this world. They're not seeing the truth for what it is. But that's okay, because it doesn't matter. They're part of this whole giant chess board.
Yeah.
Okay. They've got their roles to play. They've got their own journeys. We're not aware of what their soul contract is. We don't know what everybody's part in this puzzle plays, but it's all so brilliant. It's all so brilliant. How it all fits in and works out. And if you would just allow yourself to rise above the misery that you're being told about every single day. And I want you to imagine, many of you have played a video game before, okay, maybe, or watched someone play a video game. When your character dies in that video game, or you kill a character or whatever, or something, misfortune occurs, do you grieve that for months on end? Or do you go, right, well, that was a game. My God, that was emotional. Whew, that really did. I'm going to go again, right? That's literally what's happening here. we have to, and I know it feels so real, and that's the illusion. That, you know, the ancients called this place Maya, and Maya is the illusion. It is. It's an illusory world. It's part of this dimension, the 3D, 4D. And the way I've seen it psychically, and the way, even when I've tapped into the trees, and, you know, we could talk about that, the nature and how it speaks to us, and you start to hear it as a consciousness, okay? They've said there is a dome, a firmament, just like the Bible says. How it's structured exactly, we don't quite know, because the world could still be a globe, or it could just be a plane of existence that goes on endlessly, and we're under a certain section of this dome, and it's not a ball hurtling through space. It's just a place. But anyway, under this dome, there is 3D and 4D density or dimension, and part of 4D is djinn and fairies and the fae and all of that sort of stuff. So they're at it. They're kind of like physical, but they can go in and out. Sasquatch as well, and all of these things. They're 4D. But outside of that are the higher dimensions, okay? And I saw this, and it was really interesting because I'd never studied anything about Gnosticism or whatever, but I've been told by so many people that you're basically explaining Gnostic, you know, understanding of the world. I'm like, really? I didn't know that, but it was just something I was sensing, is that outside of this dome is this 5D reality. There's more to this earth than we think there is. That's how I saw it. Like, it all came to me. And so how do we get out of here? Dolores Cannon talked about how there was these waves of volunteers coming in and helping the humans under this, who were trapped under this dome, okay, or trapped in here. And that was the trick of the reincarnation cycle, you know, that samsara wheel. We got tricked into staying here.
Yeah.
What I keep seeing, and I'm sensing, and we're talking about psychic attacks and demons and all of that sort of stuff, I've been attacked so many times every week. I need, like, healing every week, okay? And it's not because I don't protect myself. They get in, right? There's a way that they do it. And if you're on target and you're helping lots of people, the dark don't like that. And they've got their covens and they will attack you, okay? Mm-hmm. And they'll do it in certain things if you're not careful, in your sleep, in your astral state, and there's all sorts of ways that they do it, okay? So this dark force that works through a lot of these holographic people and these demons and things like that, they're essentially feeding off us under this dome. This is what I believe. I believe that somehow this was a replica realm of what the real world looks like. And this is, I didn't know, this is Gnostic teachings. So we're under this replica dome. So God created this beautiful earth, and then the anti-creation or anti-God or Satan created a replica dome. Now, some people say that was the reptilians that did that, and it could be another race that did that, and they've tricked us into staying here. And then they work through the humans, with these big CEOs and stuff like that, and these, and then they become these bloodline families, etc. And they work through them to control this food for them, right? Which is, we're basically food for them, and that's what this whole thing is. So this is the story of us being locked in this thing. But then they didn't count on those of us who came from out there, right, outside of the dome, those of us who came from these other dimensions, whether you want to call them planets or star systems or stargates, okay? I believe they're stargates. I believe, for example, Venus is not a planet. I think it's a stargate, or it's a, it's like a portal.
Portal like the sun, yeah.
The sun is a portal, right? Yeah. So they're not actual planets. They're luminaries, and they're portals into other, because time, it doesn't exist. That's how they travel interdimensionally to be here. But some of us volunteered to come in and rescue the ones who are trapped in here in endless cycles of reincarnation. Okay, and to get the organic consciousness out of this simulation.
So well, apparently this is going to be the last time. You know, according to what I've heard, this is going to be
the ascension thing. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is the whole idea.
We've got to remind everyone. That's why we put the artifacts in here, to remind you of who you are. So, so ancient Greece isn't Greece from in here. It's based on these realms that we came from, right? So, you know, there might be a planet that has these artifacts that look like ancient Greek structures, or these Tartarian structures that come from somewhere else. They're reminding us of where we came from, and somewhere deep inside of us in this amnesic state, we recall this and we start awakening, right? Yeah. And that's the whole point. And so this whole thing of, for example, the white hats, I believe that these are, it's made up of galactic forces, but also humans, I guess you would call them, in the 5D world that's already there, helping us. They're coming back and helping us. And it may even be our higher dimensional selves helping us in 3D, right?
Okay.
So we've got multiple versions of ourselves helping us.
I have a couple of questions. Obviously, I advertised the show and some people were keen. So just a couple of questions that I'll just throw you out there, because I'm just watching the time as well. And JJ sent out a couple of questions, and he said, what impact are the COVID restrictions, we're changing the subject completely, what impact are the COVID restrictions having in Darwin?
In Darwin? I'm not, see, because I don't watch the mainstream news, because it's all orchestrated, I don't pay attention to that. So I don't know what that's, does he mean it from a psychic perspective? Or, I mean, I guess...
Well, this
is a show. Yeah,
exactly.
So Darwin is.
We heard about Australia going through really bad times. You guys are really helping hard in certain parts of your state, and your prime minister or the people representing them states. I mean, they really need to be locked up. From what I've seen, anyway, that's just my opinion. But so you guys are going through a hard time over there. So how was it for you? How are you coping with that?
So I'm in Sydney, or just outside of Sydney, and it's, you know, for the longest time I didn't feel it until they came for the kids and the teachers, okay, to the point where this week I've pulled my daughter out of school permanently and we're going to homeschool her, okay, because that system is broken. There's so many teachers losing their jobs because what they're doing now is, but this is, again, this is that negative thing I told you about. So if you just imagine, this is a show, this has been forced, the darkest of the dark is playing out as extreme as possible to force those of us who know the truth to literally create brand new ways of living and finding solutions to these problems outside of the system that's not working, okay? So instead of talking about this mainstream story of what is this law doing, or what is happening in this country, or what is, you have to keep taking it back to the spiritual aspect of what this is. Otherwise, you're never going to get it, and you're going to stay stuck in 3D. Okay, this is where the 5D comes in. You have to think in 5D consciousness. So what's happening here in Australia right now is they're literally creating vaccine passports. So I can't go into certain shops at all. They won't let me in, okay? Because I haven't been vaccinated.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be. It's not a vaccine, by the way.
Yeah.
There's no vaccine. We know, It's not a vaccine. I've said that from the beginning. This is not a vaccine. So they're trying to do that, right? So they're trying to create it's medical apartheid, basically, okay? And then what was I saying? But people, you know, there's different stages where people are feeling it. Everyone kept asking me every week, everyone kept saying, is it really bad in Australia? I was like, no, I'm looking out the window. No, everything's fine. I just order my groceries online because I don't want to deal with the mask thing. And because my daughter's with me most of the time, I certainly don't want her being around those people. And then you've got the jabbed and the shedding stuff and all of that stuff. And we did get affected by that the other week because we instantly get affected by other people's virus shedding. Okay. So I was like, I don't want to be around those people. So I'm just going to. So for me, in my world, nothing was different until they went back to school. Okay, so they had a whole semester off at home, locked down, go back to school, and then we learn that all these teachers are being, but they have a certain deadline that they have to have two jabs, right? Otherwise, they lose their jobs, which is inhumane and against human rights and against the Biosecurity Act and all sorts of things that it's illegal, unlawful, okay? We know this. And now people are pulling their kids out of school. So this is when it started to make a massive impact on me in particular, and why when they're coming for the children, then people are going to stand up and go, what the hell are we going to do, right?
Yeah.
Now, you either sink or swim in this. We're creating our 5D world right now, okay? So it doesn't – whether this is happening in Australia or in New Zealand or in Singapore or whatever – you've got that happening. Then on the other end, so you've got these positive and negative things happening. So you've got all these things where people are going, oh, my God, I'm losing my job, blah, blah, blah. But then you've got all these people banding together going, right, well, we'll hire you. We're going to hire you if you're unvaxxed. Okay, there's whole entire social platforms now created for job opportunities and things like that, and communities joining together. And then there's people who are creating their own schools from the teachers who are going to lose their jobs. We'll hire you. Let's do a homeschooling type community school and let's do that. And there's ways around this. And then you've got common law practices to pull you out of a system that's illegal, okay? So there is ways to solve this. And then you've got, they've just announced, which is interesting because my pendulum said that I didn't know anything about this. They literally just announced it today. My pendulum said that international travel in Australia will be open in November. And they literally just announced it today. Okay. So international, they're opening certain destinations that we're allowed to leave. Okay. Now, if you've not been jabbed, you will by the 1st of December or whatever be allowed to be like the rest of them once they reach their quota of jabs. But you see, do you understand? It's like, we can talk about how horrible it is in Australia, but there's solutions to all of this.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, again, put the energy into it and think about, well, here's the problem, here's the solution. This is a common problem that I've come across in my business career where, you know, I learned a very long time ago where a boss of mine said to me, you know, you come to me with a problem. He said, also bring three solutions. Think about it. Because he said, I'm not an IT guy, but I can pick whichever one is the solution, which I feel is the right one. So again, I would say to people, if you're going to come to somebody with a problem, think about the solution first. The trouble is, again, we get into psychology. Thinking takes energy. And people don't want to use that energy. So it's easier to moan and complain about the problem and just hope that somebody else has the solution to it. Or what I always say, the little red hen principle, is where the story, the little red hen, where she asks all the farmyard animals to help her plant the seed, collect the seed to make the bread. And you go, well, I'm too busy watching Sky TV or,
yes,
you know, or whatever.
I remember that
and
story.
She makes the bread. And then when she says, does anybody want a piece? And you go, oh, yeah. She goes, no, I'm having it all to myself. I was going to swear there.
Yes.
This is the problem that I come across, and I call it the little red hen principle, is that everybody else is waiting for everybody else to be their savior or do the work. Oh, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to work on myself. I don't want to do the 5D stuff. And
Alan,
I want you to say,
my whole entire, you know, people see me as like a mother figure all the time. Okay. So I get people emailing me, can you tell me where the link is on this thing? And I'm like, it's in every video. It's literally in every video. If you just know how to open a description box in a YouTube video, you will find the link. I can't find it. Where is it? But this is the thing. These things, these horrible, hard, unprecedented things are happening to undo even that programming. Okay. The programming around, we've been spoon-fed everything. And I know that in Ireland, I mean, Mark tells me this all the time. He said, there's so much fluoride in the water. I said, oh, listen, there's a lot of fluoride here. Basically, Australia and Ireland are exactly the same. We've just got different accents and different climate. Okay. It's exactly the same. We've literally had the exact same treatment on both countries. everybody's been spoon-fed in the school system, and it happened probably around, I don't think I was as spoon-fed as other generations, the younger generations than me. I'm 45, okay? So kids, I think it's like Generation Y or whatever, they're all spoon-fed, right? So nobody thinks for themselves. Everybody got the answers out of a textbook. Then just nobody was had that forthright sort of way of thinking. So right now you're literally, this is unprecedented times. You are literally either going to have to comply because you are so lazy and you chose the easy way out.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have to do the really uncomfortable task of brand new paradigms, brand new ways of dealing with things, brand new ways, and you have to problem solve. And the only way you can do it, you can't do it on your own. You have to come together with other people and you have to solve these problems. And it's difficult and it's awkward and it's awful. And especially when we've been told you have no power and the law is against you and all of that. And even like I had a common law guy, Peter Wilson, on my channel, and I interviewed him and that was great. Everyone loved it. But then no one wanted to do the paperwork.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like they want someone to do it for them. And even I, who I'm very, very self-motivated, I had problem doing the paperwork, right? And I'm like, Peter, I need your help, right? Because you don't want to get it wrong. But the thing is, these are uncomfortable, yucky things that we have to do. But if you want a 5D world, yeah, we're creating a whole new realm.
Yeah. Totally.
How do you think it's going to happen?
Totally.
And that's where I had the problem with the freaking spaceships, because I was like, I wanted a spaceship to come and get me out of here and plonk me into 5D. And I'm like, la, 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 everything's great, right? And that took away my ability to create my world that I wanted to be in. It takes away the whole fun of problem solving. You're not here to have everything handed to you on a silver platter. The difference between you winning the lottery and everything's just hunky-dory and it's right there, and then you having money and building a house that you designed and created and you dreamed it up and you plotted it out and all of that. One is satisfying and one is not so satisfying.
Well, I totally agree with you on that, because I've recently set up a shed in my back garden, and I'm actually enjoying getting back in to create things.
Is it a man cave?
It's a man cave. I'm actually enjoying creating things, you know, making things, getting my hands back, using wood, using tools and making stuff, being the creative side, you know, because being an IT guy, yeah, I can sit in front of a computer and set up a website and do all that stuff. But I'm bored with that now. I'm kind of bored with that. I just want to start creating and making stuff.
Yes,
and
that's what we're here for.
And I think that's the problem with the Kabbalahs. They can't create. They can only copy.
They can't. Yes, so exactly.
That's and this is what
people must remember that they have to emulate and they have to use us to create. And in order for them to manifest the world that they want, they do have dark black magic on their side, taught to them from these creatures that they've harnessed and manifest, etc. That's all part of this matrix, okay? But that black magic is part of it is the media, okay? That's the last frontier. Everyone said the media will be the last thing to come down, right? That is such a powerful thing in how what it's doing is it's harnessing these brilliant machines of our brains, our ability to create us as creative beings, okay? And it uses our focus to manifest this matrix reality. But as we start seeing through the illusion, it starts to crumble and people start seeing these glitches and stuff in the matrix, okay? And this is why, unfortunately, where a large portion of the truth of community who are they're light beings, they're star seeds, they're these organic consciousness with bright lights in them, okay? So they're very, very powerful light beings. They're getting caught up in that 3D system of things where they believe that the news is there to inform them.
Mm.
And they think that if I don't watch mainstream news, I'm doing good, but what I'll do instead is I'll watch the propaganda alternative news, right? And that in itself has been co-opted.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, that in itself has been infiltrated quite heavily to the point where your favourites, your beautiful favourites that you so love, they're CIA assets, okay? And that came through very clearly in my hypnosis session. Now, my higher self said that about 90% had been.
Yeah, co-opted. I agree. The op media has awful. Been definitely.
And some are aware that they're being used and some aren't. This is the problem.
Well, I know when myself and Steve ran Open Your Mind Radio, and even me with Circle of White Light Radio, well, myself and Steve never really wanted to be affiliated with anybody because we knew that if there was a third person in the room, that we knew they were there because it was always only us two. And I think you have to have a certain element. Yes, if you want to work with people that are doing good stuff and you know they're doing good stuff, I don't have a problem with that. And there are good people out there doing good things. But we have been burnt in the past, and I have been burnt in the past. So I am very kind of skeptical, and I totally agree. But you know what concerns me is that people, I'm a big believer of put your money where your mouth is. And there's a lot of people out there and a lot of spiritual people who will talk the talk, but they won't walk the walk. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of obviously what I do with the Pay It Forward, the Circle of White Light, is to actually show people that what we're doing, you know, and they can see what we're doing with the donations coming in and stuff like that. And that is what I think should be done. The idea behind it, that just €1 a month, 10,000 people doing that, €1 a month, I mean, how many people could be helped? People have the power. They have to realize that they have the power. Now, I know that a lot of people are kind of concerned about charities and stuff like that because of what happened in the past. And this is why transparency, and I post everything up on the website for people to see, you know, and to be able to make that something that you could do full time where you're helping people. You know, it doesn't take a lot of people to get organized and to do it. So hopefully people will, as people start changing and people start waking up to the system and moving forward, that we'll be hopefully going down that road. I do
have a very 5D approach. Yeah, that's a very 5D approach. I don't know if you read Conversations with God, but that was one of the concepts, that, you know, when we have transparency of what everyone earns, that's when the world will change, you know, like show what the CEO earns, show what the worker, when that's all on the table.
This is what we're changing. We spoke to Mark about that, and Mark wants to interview Liam. We're talking about a new model called a cooperative model, and Liam has already applied that to his businesses in Scotland. And the positive effect is phenomenal. The changes of what's going on, people feeling empowered, feeling they have a say, being appreciated. I'm used to the hierarchical model, as I'm sure you are, JC, and everybody else. And the system was worked and set up that way, where the few at the top control the many. That doesn't work anymore. We have to go to the cooperative model, where you have an 88% success rate from a business point of view. And people they're appreciated, they have control, they have a say. And, you know, I won't go into it now because I'm just watching the time, but it's something. I know Mark wants to interview Liam, and I've sent Mark Liam's email, and I'm sure they'll set up a session, and Liam will go into that in detail. But we've talked about it on my show anyway. But I have one more question for you, and then I'll just get an update on where JC is going, where the future, you know, for JC, what's going to be coming down the line for you. So let me just get to the last question. The last question was, now that unvaccinated MPs are being banned from Parliament in Victoria, the ballot box is no longer relevant. You now have a dictatorship in the state of Victoria. Is that the case? Would you be familiar with that?
Definitely. That's the show that they're putting on. But apparently today was the end of lockdown in Victoria. Okay, so we've got to keep looking at what's the big picture here. I believe that there was the premier, which is equivalent in the US as like a governor of the state. the Premier of the state, his name's Dan Andrews. When I did a remote view on him over a year ago, I saw very clearly he was like a satanic ritual abuse person. Like he was in a cult, and it was, I believe it came through in one session as this Black Sun cult or something. I don't know.
Black Sun, right?
Yeah. That's what it came through as. I had no idea. It came through in the dowsing session that was it. And I believe, so my personal belief is he's a clone, like the one that's there now. I think the original is gone and that this one is a different version, okay? The other one was sacrificed, gone. But the whole thing is what I felt, what I saw in that remote view was that he had been told from a very young age that he would be the leader of the New World Order in this state or in Australia. And that they were in cahoots very closely with China, and that I've done this with two other healers. We've done this sort of group quick astral journey, remote view type things, and we went into China and we could see it was fully AI and it was so dark, and we could see this black goo there and reptilian control and all of that sort of stuff. And that whole New World Order dark sort of concept, or what their plans were, was to take over Australia through Canberra and Victoria. Okay, that's basically what you're seeing. So when we have these two worlds or two versions of the world happening at the same time. So right now, if you're focusing on the dark 3D stuff and the mainstream media, you're going to see that whole New World Order agenda as though it's playing out and it's successful. But again, we have to keep going back to, but God wins in the end. We've seen the outcome already. Countless intuitives, seers, psychics, mediums, we've all seen it, that we win in the end. Okay, we get to the 5D, we see it. So if that's the case, then that whole New World all comes apart, and that it's a game in order to force you into a different way of thinking. Okay, so yes, it's a dictatorship. Yes, that's they truly believe it. They're mind controlled themselves. These puppets are all mind controlled, and they truly believe it. I mean, it's been going on forever. The Fabian Club, this agenda's been going on for hundreds of years. Okay, they've had this plan for a long time, but they were never going to succeed. And just like true psychopaths, they will try to take as many people down as possible on their road to destruction. Okay, and they will do that. So you have to keep going back, and this is why I keep telling people to go to the trees, to nature. It will never, that in itself, okay, so mainstream media is corrupt. All of this is an illusion. The only thing that's not an illusion in this entire reality is nature. And when you truly tap into that and connect to God through nature, which they're trying to separate you from, and you tap in and you earth ground yourself, you will get to the truth of what's really going on here, and it will keep you centered enough to find solutions to pull yourself out of this matrix. So it doesn't matter that the state is locked down. There is solutions to all of this if you allow your mind to go there. But if you want to fall victim to the story and the narrative that is deceiving you and making you believe you've got no power, then you will fall and you will not succeed, and your reality will become the one that is the dystopian future.
And this is the split that we talk about.
That's the split.
The timeline, you know, two timelines maybe. Obviously the 3D timeline where people follow the matrix and, you know, go down that route. And obviously people like yourselves will actually challenge the system, but also find ways around the system that keep us sane. You know, and to be honest with you, I've never worn a mask. I have now and again, obviously on occasion, put a face covering on, which is a piece of plastic, but I wear it like a welder's mask. And it's funny how the psychology of the people always wearing something. The fact that it's up here, right? It's completely irrelevant to them. The fact that I just have this something on my head, and I find that quite entertaining. Now, you know, I know we're on audio here and people can't see, but this morning I got these badges in, and I'm going to try a little experiment, and I'm going to design I'm exempt you know, and have a bit of fun with it. Yeah, I'm having a bit of fun with it, you know.
Did I tell you about I got attacked in the post office a few at the beginning of the year when they had masks for a couple of weeks in Sydney? And I walked in with no mask with my daughter, and they said, "You get out of here, you haven't got a mask." I said, "I'm exempt." "Show me, show me." I said, "You're not allowed to ask me." And I was like, fuck. I just grabbed this paper from my wallet.
Yeah.
And I just held it up. It was like the psychic paper from Doctor Who. And she just saw it. She's just looking. And then she went, oh. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "See?" And then I just put it down. And then she had to shut up. But there was nothing there.
Yeah.
So it is a psychology. It's amazing. There was nothing there.
I think we also what you have to do is, I said to people, look, you mightn't win all the battles, but we'll win the war. You know, sometimes you have to think of your energy. And if you're a person who doesn't like confrontation and you distress and the negative energy with all them attacks, then put on a face covering or try and avoid doing it, because you have to
put a face covering on, but cut some holes in there.
Yeah. Actually, one of the lads on the group, Liam, who's from one of the assemblies on my own PIF team, he actually took 2 inches off it. I just thought it was very good. All right, JC, I'm just watching the time there. And what's the future for JC? Obviously, we're going to have to do another 2 or 3 shows, because there's so much more that I want to talk to you about. But we have I have a time period with the podcast. And I always try and say, look, I'm humbled that people tune in every Sunday and listen to me gabble on for 2 hours with a guest, you know, to give 2 hours of their time to listen to me talk. You know, I'm very humbled by that, but I don't want to go beyond that, you know, take advantage of it. So I try and restrict the time to the shows. So what's, before we kind of finish up, what's the future for JC? What's on your cards? What are you going to do?
Do you know, I have all these dreams of what I do, but like I said, I fly by the seat of my pants. I just do what I can. My whole thing, I just try to stay guided every day in truth. Right now, my biggest focus right now is my daughter. I pulled her out of school. She's got autism. She's only 6 years old. We need to focus on her. So, and we're trying our best to give as much dedication and attention to her. But the funny thing is that whatever's going on with her, sort of, she's like a barometer for what's going on in the world. So when I see that she's anxious, then something's going on around in this world, okay, in this environment. And so that sort of often leads me into being propelled to help people out there who might have children with autism or on spectrum. What do I introduce? So my whole thing is, I don't want people to focus on predictions, okay? I will help people as much as I can in terms of being inspired. So every future show will be about expanding their own awareness, enhancing their intuition. So right now I'm writing a course. Actually, we're writing two courses, and me and Mark are writing two courses. So we're writing a course on how to make a course. Okay.
Very good.
Intuitively. And then I am doing a course or creating a course for people on how to awaken their natural intuition and develop their psychic abilities. Okay. So that's quite an extensive, could be very broad, but extensive course. And we're going to do it like week by week intuitively, okay? And so that's something really big that I want to focus on. There's other things that I want to do, which is I just want to provide as much information as possible for people to empower themselves, whether it's their health, okay, because this is all part of your spirituality. Is every time I come across someone that's got anything to do with empowering you and taking charge of your health, your body, your sovereignty, I'll introduce people to that. About the law, so common law and sovereignty is a big thing, huge thing. Creating communities is another big thing. So, whoops, all my shows, I keep knocking. I talk with my hands, so all the people on the radio, you can't see. I talk with my hands, and if you're on, you know, listening on the radio, you won't be able to see this, but I knocked my microphone over. Anything to do with moving into 5D, but what's that? So Mark and I do a lot of work together, so we sort of brainstorm things and we keep thinking of, and it's just a natural thing, right? So it's like envisioning the it's almost as if it's just born into us. We know this is God. God's working through us, and we were given this role to do this as people on the front line in the public space, inspiring people to be independent, sovereign, work together as communities in new ways, and then helping people see the bigger picture so that they can continue to do that, right? So things like Michael Tellinger's sort of, Ubuntu concept, and that concept of one small town where you've got this cooperative sort of towns working together, and they don't need money in the end, right? So they're all sort of working together. That's the way of the future. These are the things that we hope to do. As far as the my hopes and dreams for my personal life, I've got that, but that's all private. But as far as the collective goes, I'm here to do as much as I can to push people over the line. I've said that from the beginning. We don't want to lose people. And the messages I keep getting from the trees is we're going to lose a lot of people. Now, whether they're the background people that Dolores Cannon speaks about, the holographic people, or whether they are these light workers that just didn't quite make it because they succumbed to their own weaknesses, whether they just saw the easy way out and they got a jab or whatever it is. And there's a lot of people that aren't going to make it.
Dave Ash, a guest that I had on, Dave Ash, he's a physicist. I interviewed him back in January 2019. And at the time, there was no COVID. And he said to me, he said, Alan, we're going to lose a lot of people. They'll just go. And I was saying, how is that going to happen, David? People are just not going to disappear. He goes, I don't know, he says, but I can tell you, he said, they'll go. Yeah. And so you just saying that, and now obviously with COVID and the jab and then the spike proteins and everything else that goes on with that, you know, people just start dying off gradually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could be that. And then we've got, again, this concept of these resets where whole groups of people disappear. And if you look into this, there's people who do research with Tartarian. That's an interesting sound.
That's my Star Trek communicator. That's my text. Don't mind that. That's my mobile phone going off.
Well, the Tartarian, all these Tartarian things and these old, when they believe the last reset was, which was in the 1800s, that there's these photographs of these towns with, like, there's no people and there's, like, a couple of people. Who took these photographs? And the ground looks like mud. It looks muddy. And there's these beautiful buildings that we're told were built in 1860 or 1830-something, right? But they're just perfect, and they've got these beautiful pillars and things like that. So there's this concept of what happened to these people and why was there suddenly all these children? So have a think about this with this COVID thing. Now, if the double jabbed, if this is true, that those who have double or more jabs are at greater risk of disease. And I just saw a clip from, and I can't find the name of it, but in America they had an official clip of a court case and what have you, and they've actually said that they found out that about 70% of the hospital cases were COVID, they were double jabbed.
Okay? Same over here in Ireland,
And they didn't, and this is an official thing, okay? Yeah. So I just saw the thing. And they're not even counting the ones who it's greater than that. It is greater than that. They're not counting the ones who had one jab. They're just counting the ones that had. So there's 70% of the cases. So if this happens, and let's say within 2 years that if you've had these double jabs and it happens to be a poison one and not a saline,
placebo.
All right. And it is a dangerous one and it's affected you in such a way, your immune system is down and you've suffered from whether it's a comorbidity or it's an actual COVID, what's going to happen to those people's children? We're suddenly going to have a whole heap of, this is what was happening in the 1800s. Suddenly all these children appeared. Where's all the adults?
Right, okay. Right. No, it's funny you should say 1800s because we had a...
Think about Oliver Twist. Do you know the whole story of children? All these novels and stuff.
We had the coronal mass ejection in 1859, which would have had a major effect on the planet, which it did. And but we didn't have electricity at the time. It blew out a few telegraph poles.
Well, how do you know? Maybe we did. And they just told you we didn't.
Funny you should say 1800s. You know what? Mm-hmm. We could do another 2 hours talking, but we won't do that. We'll try and keep it for a part two. JC, a big thank you for coming on the show. Much appreciated. It was great hooking up
with you. Sorry it took so long.
Look, you know, it's divine timing. Let's put it down to divine. And a lot of drink with Mark. And a good
Well, I wish I was there, but I don't drink alcohol.
No, you would enjoy it. We had a good chat. When like-minded,
I'll pretend to drink a Guinness.
yeah. Well, like-minded people get together and you just talk for hours about everything, anything, and then everybody's entertaining information. It's so refreshing to do that, and that's what we did, you know. But okay, so let's give out all your details and your links so people know where to find you if they want to look you up and see your videos and all that stuff.
Sure. Okay. So my YouTube channel is called Quantum Truths JCK. I have a Linktree link. So Linktree link, when you click it, all of these other links are in there. And it's a link. So how do I put this? linktr.ee/JCK. Which is spelt JCKAY. So that has all my links in it. I'm mostly on YouTube. I am on Telegram as well, and you'll probably find me. I can never remember the title of my Telegram because I've got a Telegram channel, which is where I put all my posts, and that's an official channel, Quantum Truths JCK. Mm. And then I've got a chat attached to the channel, which is a private chat, and there's thousands of people in there. I think I've got something like 17,000 in my channel. So on that's just Telegram. And then I've got Patreon. I've got a Patreon and I've got a private chat for them as well. And then I've got Facebook. I've got this massive Facebook group, which is how I started with Facebook. And that's got 28,000 people, I think, in it. And but it doesn't matter. I'm only mentioning the numbers because what this means is that there are so many thousands of people across the world all joining together, and they're creating their own communities, and they're affecting each other, and they're helping each other. And we try to keep it positive. We try to keep the fear porn out. And I encourage people to meet up or like find people in their own areas and make like-minded things. It's not about me. It's just a platform to share ideas and then go out and do stuff, right? To go out and connect with one another.
Yeah,
that's what it's about.
Well, that's what it should be about. Everybody sharing ideas, get like-minded people together, which is what we're trying to do with other things and other groups I'm involved in. Well, listen, a big thank you for coming on. Much appreciated. Stay with me there for a minute. We're just going to go over to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, folks. So I'm not going to keep you. That was a long interview with JC. Great information. Thanks for hanging on there and listening to the whole podcast. Just something very quickly. I just want to mention Dr. Marcus de Braun. Mentioned on his Twitter feed, are NEFID even listening to the HSE? For the month of September, according to the HSE, 79% of COVID deaths in Ireland were fully vaccinated. Must we wait until it's 100% before the truth becomes newsworthy? That's incredible that the majority of people who are in A&E and having issues are vaccinated people. So if that doesn't tell you something, then, you know, I don't know what we can do, you know, from there. We have to educate the people who are thinking of getting a vaccine or a experimental drug. Okay, now my guest on the show next week is a lady I've never had on the show before called Anne Tucker. I will be talking to Anne during the week, and she is a spiritual person and she's on YouTube. If you type Anne Tucker in YouTube, you'll find her there as well. So you can check it out. Check Anne out and see what she does on the spiritual side there. But she's going to be on next week, and I look forward to talking to Anne. So I'm going to go because that was a long podcast and I've run over my time. So as they used to say in the pubs years ago, you know, come on now, ladies and gents, it's way beyond the time, finish your drinks. So there you go. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm heading off now. So have a great week, folks. Enjoy the week and don't get too stressed. And think of 5D, think of your energy, and try not to focus on anything negative, and avoid the media, because they only bring your energy down with fear porn and everything else. And try and think positive stuff and work on the positive stuff. So for myself, Alan James, take it easy. Have a good week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.